Bill. Thank you so much for coming to Philadelphia.
Oh, no, it is we who must thank you. Lead on.
Your new book is about climate change, and you make a case for us as humans to treat the Earth like a homeowner and not like a renter. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you're a renter and the ceiling's leaking, the roof is leaking, what else would go wrong? The dryer stops working. You call the landlord. And there might be a list of numbers you're supposed to call, but you don't bother with that. You just call the landlord and ask him or her to call the plumber. But if you are an owner, you got to take care of it yourself. And those of you who own homes or have an agreement with certain financial institutions to one day own a home, you know what I'm talking about, is that you, when your relationship to it is more personal and you have a lot more at stake. And so I'm sure there's a few people out here who have this imaginary idea that I'll go live on Mars. No, you won't. Okay. No, you're going to live on the Earth. And so we've got to take care of the Earth. And by the way, the Earth's going to be here no matter what we do. I want to save the Earth for me, the human. That's the key. And so there's going to be big changes ahead, but we want to manage them.
So you want us to think big.
Think but huge. I want you to think huge.
But I think a lot of times for individuals, that's daunting because we feel like that is not up to me. I'm not the one going to Paris. I'm not the president.
Oh, going to Paris for the climate change conference. People ask me quite commonly, what can I do about climate change? What can I do about climate change? Yes, good not to throw away your water bottles to recycle them. Yes, that's good. Don't throw out your newspapers, recycle them. Yes, that's good. But I say the single most important thing that we could all do about climate change right now is talk about it. If we were talking about climate change the way we were talking about what went on in Ferguson, Missouri, or Baltimore, Maryland this year, we would be on it, man. We would be getting it done. There's nobody in denial about what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. There were some altercations, some people got shot that would probably be better off not getting shot, and so on. And so in the same way, if we were all working together to address climate change, we would be doing it.
But why are we not talking about it?
Well, nominally, the fossil fuel industry has worked very hard to, and look, I burn fossil fuels too, people, okay. I mean, I admit, I got here on a train, which is powered by electricity, some of which was produced by fossil fuel burning power plants, yes. But the fossil fuel industry has worked very hard to introduce this idea that scientific uncertainty, plus or minus, pick a number, 3% or something, is the same as doubt about the whole thing, that plus or minus 100%. And that's wrong.
You have, in the past, changed your mind on issues, for example, genetically modified foods.
Yes, I've changed my mind.
Right, that's what science does, right?
Yes.
Science changes.
That's the goal.
So, yes. So,
but I claim I'm all justified in doing it.
Right. But let me ask you, have you seen any arguments or anything on the other side of this debate that has piqued your interest? Or that maybe...
On genetically modified food?
No, on global warming. Have you seen anything? No.
No, sorry.
Okay.
No, you guys
just
understand. That's a good question. But understand that I, through a remarkable clerical error, something with U.S. Postal Service, something, I got into Cornell University. And I'm sure they'd take it back if they could. But so after I finished my mechanical engineering requirements, I took a class in astronomy from Carl Sagan. I took one class from Carl Sagan. Well, you guys, it's just... that guy in 1977 was talking about climate change, and this was a result of his having done, with James Pollock, he did the rudiments of a computer model modeling the Earth's climate. And the parameters that are used today really are derivative of those early mathematical models. How much moisture is in the atmosphere? How much heat does the ocean hold? How much cloud cover does the Earth have? How much does it reflect into space and so on? And modern models are based pretty much on those same 40 or so parameters or criteria, these were consistent. And so climate change models today, computer models today, are derivative of all that, and it's all consistent. I've seen absolutely no evidence at all that those computer models are not correct. And if you like to worry about things, this is a great time. Everybody loves to worry about things. July was the hottest July on record. September, when it's all settled, I'm pretty sure will be. This will be the hottest year on record. You can run in circles screaming. You can try to silence people like me, but the world's still getting warmer.
I have a question from Chris in the audience.
Chris.
Hello.
Way to go.
She, I think it's
15 people. I'm Chris. Okay.
Neat handwriting, so I'm going to say she's a woman. Do you think businesses are moving in the direction of sustainable, clean, alternative energy sources?
Sort of. And here's a sort of. Texas. I was recently in Galveston, Texas, where you just see oil refinery, oil refinery, oil refinery, oil refinery, just one after another, all along the East Texas coast. Texas not only refines oil in a huge business environment, 10% of Texas's electricity now comes from the wind. 10%. And that's really without even trying. And this is to say, power companies have built these wind turbines to make money, not to be do-gooders as so much. Because here's what happens after you have a wind turbine. The energy is free. It just blows over your turbine, and it spins like crazy. They get so much energy. How much do they get? They get so much, they give it away at night in Texas. And so just think if we took the electricity infrastructure in Texas, which is enormous, and sold that power all over North America, all over Mexico, central U.S.
Is wind your favorite? Well, I got a sense reading your book that wind was perhaps...
Well, wind is so cheap right now.
And right.
No, everybody. Fossil fuels, which pay no fee, no cost of their dumping carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, they don't pay for that, is about 1.7 cents a kilowatt hour. Wind's at 2.1. I mean, it's that close. If we were to charge a fee for the production of carbon dioxide, wind would come out way ahead.
We have a lot of science educators in the crowd, a lot of science teachers, right? And I have a whole stack of questions from them, so I'm going to summarize. What's your advice to science educators? How do we inspire the next generation of young scientists, whether it is to be scientists or to be scientifically minded citizens?
That's right. We want scientifically literate voters and taxpayers. That's what we want. So the first thing I say to every educator is let your passion come through. What was it you liked about your favorite professor or teacher? Was it he or she was into it? If it was Bill Nye, right on. I can assure you Bill Nye was really into it. The guy's crazy. I've hung out with him. He's nuts. He's like wild. Science! Like, dude, you know, pull back. But let your passion come through. That, and if you're excited about it, your students will get excited about it. And it's work. And I say this all the time. I meet a lot of rocket scientists. I spend time from time to time with Nobel laureates. These are not people in general you want teaching fourth grade. They're just not qualified. Sorry. I hope they've mastered the curriculum. I hope they got that. You know, especially kindergarten, that's where you really see these guys are just the wrong people for that. But you spend more time when you're a kid, you spend more time with your teachers than you do with your parents. These people are extraordinary, teachers are extraordinarily important to our society. And so let your passion come through. And then the other thing I would say, whatever you're going to do that day, just have it thought through what you want to get across that day. In my opinion, you can get across sort of three things. That's about it. I mean, you can hope for seven things, but you probably won't get seven things. Go for three. And if you have a better way than what I've described, do it. Because I'm I'm just one guy with one opinion. But of course, like so many people, my opinion's correct, which is a big time saver. Yeah.
We have to wrap this up.
Already?
I know. As I was reading your book, don't kill me, but I was reminded of an engineer joke, if I may.
Yeah, engineer jokes are hilarious.
I know. So, the optimist says the glass is half full, the pessimist says the glass is half empty, and the engineer says the glass is twice the size it needs to be, and we can fix that. And that was kind of the message that I took away from your book. It's a big challenge, and it's a big situation that we're in, but there's hope, and we can do this.
About climate change, you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
So everybody, you have to be optimistic. If you're not optimistic, you're not going to get it done. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, I guarantee you the Philadelphia Eagles go into every game hoping to, believing that they can win. And I can assure you that if they don't believe they can win, they won't. So everybody, let's get together and, dare I say it, change the world! Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.